Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come in on this hot August Saturday. The boys are back in the studio. That would be Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson Seed. Guys, glad to have you back.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be back.
Same here, Scott. Glad to be back.
Appreciate it. Okay, so with the temperatures the way they are and for the next few days, what are some things people need to be thinking about right now in terms of their garden or their lawn? Before you answer that, I should give out the phone number so people can come and ask their own questions. 314-436-7900. Again, 314-436-7900. That's the garden hotline to talk to Glenn and Jeff. All right, go ahead.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, no, there's a lot of issues right now with, we're starting to actually dry out a little bit. We haven't been dry most of the season, so hydration is a key component both for lawns and the landscape plants, the prolonged heat has some other detriments. I mean, we are seeing a lot of turf fungus activity, and that's stimulated by the temperatures, and especially the nighttime lows not being low at all, and then the high humidity in the evenings and overnight is really stressful on things as well. So yeah, hydration would be key of the immediate concern right now.
Yeah, what I've seen is you can really tell where irrigation was kind of effective when we had those timely heavy rains. And now that they're gone, people need to probably re-examine their zones on their clock and either add some time or add some days. But you can definitely tell where the irrigation is working and not working.
How can you tell?
Well, there'll be browned out areas, a lot more weeds. Where it's working well, especially in shady areas, the lawn will be greener. And then as soon as you get out of the window of the shade, you can tell the grass is brown and dry, the cool season lawns. But there's telltale signs, plants that looked healthy a month ago, all of a sudden are drooping. And you probably need to add some supplemental watering to your landscapes, particularly if your plants are only 1 or 2 years in the ground. That's when new plants struggle the most, that first summer or second summer. Usually after about the third year, they adapt pretty well. And if you planted anything this spring, we would strongly suggest you double check your amount of water they're getting.
What's the general rule for the amount of water? I mean, just a overall.
With lawns, it's totally different for lawns than it is plants. You have to remember a lawn root system is only 4 or 5 inches, maybe 6 inches deep for cool season lawns. When you plant a 5 gallon azalea, you got 18 inches of water absorbing roots and anchoring roots. So a lawn's going to need way more watering, couple of days in a row where a plant just might need one or two good waterings all week. You know, I see that mistake made quite a bit in irrigation. The lawns and the shrubs are trying to water at the same time, and it doesn't make any sense because a lawn needs heavy waterings 2 or 3 days in a row where a plant just might need one heavy watering all week. And so it's it depends on how much mulch is there. It depends on the percolation of the soil. There's so many variables that can lead to that answer, but it's all trial and error. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, ironically, there's the Missouri Botanical Garden just put out its fall class schedule, and its title is Learn and Discover. And that's what people are doing. We're learning and discovering, trying to figure out what's going on with these nighttime temperatures.
I'm assuming that trial and error includes the idea of that you're trying to improve the watering situation, but then you overwater. You can go too far. I mean,
see that?
Sure.
Yeah, especially in lawns. We were talking about that before the show, that these people water every day lightly is the worst possible irrigation you can have for lawns.
Huh. Okay.
Everything needs a dry down day, and that's your mow day or your herbicide application day.
Yep. That, like Glenn was just saying, that frequent light watering is not good. It's not good for grass, and it's not good for landscape plants either. You know, like Glenn was saying, deep water those landscape plants maybe 2 times a week if it's brand new. You know, three times a week should work. We don't even need to water those shrubs every day, but when we water them, we need to make sure we're really soaking them. That's the key thing. And then, like Glenn was saying, the grass, we just don't want to be doing that light water. I mean, I know golf courses will spritz it off in the heat of the day and things like that, but the reality is if you deep water, you're going to get healthier roots, and you're going to let that plant dry out a little bit in between so that it's not perpetually damp and becoming a fungus factory. So.
And in terms of determining what the amount of water that's there, visual probably isn't the way to do it. As you put your finger in the ground, what do you do?
I call it a screwdriver test. If you can lightly apply a screwdriver 3 to 4 inches deep in your soil for your lawn, then you got ample moisture. But if you're rock hard at a half inch or less than an inch, you're not watering properly. Or you could also have a soil problem where you need to aerate, use liquid aeration or core aeration so that you're modifying that soil structure throughout the years.
Is it different for plants or mulch or what? I mean, not mulch, but for plants.
As far as how often or to check them?
Yeah.
So like especially with your newer plantings, like let's say you did have landscaping installed this spring and you know, those plants really haven't had time to get fully rooted in. So, yes, you could use a screwdriver, like Glenn said, or even just your fingers or hands. But, you want to make sure it is nice and moist down deep. And actually, that can tell you the opposite as well. I mean, if you put your hand around the base of the new plant and it's, you know, and you haven't watered for a day and it's still comes up soaking wet, I mean, you're getting too much, you know, and that can be a problem as well. So nice and moist on those new plants and you know, just like every other day, you know, at the most thoroughly, it'd be my recommendation. Obviously, annual flowers are a different story. You got to watch that, and they might need daily irrigation right now.
Yeah, wet soil will have a distinct odor that doesn't smell right. If it doesn't smell right, it
doesn't pass
right.
The smell test.
It doesn't pass the smell test. Correct. That's very true with soils.
Glenn Kramer is with Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall here from Horstman Brothers. They're here to answer your questions. This program is at your service. And the number to call to ask your specific question, 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline. We'll continue in a moment on 104.1 FM. KMOX. It is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. And the voices here in the studio today are Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. They are here to answer your questions about gardens and lawns. 314-436-7900 is the number. Let's go to Lynn. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, guys, and thank you, KMOX, for a great show. I am pulling up dead daylily stalks, and some of them that I pull up look like they have a live, or about halfway in the stalk, it will have like a live start. And I didn't know if I could plant those. I didn't know whether I should just throw them in the pile or if there was any life in those.
No, sir. Just go ahead and compost those, Lynn. That would be the right thing to do.
Okay. Well, it sure looks like they're alive. Yeah. You know, it looks like they're almost a start, but that's what we'll do. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
The one thing for sure, Lynn, is whatever amount of daylilies you have this year, you'll have more next year.
Is that true?
They keep coming.
It's going to take me all day to pull out the dead stuff. Yeah. All right, guys.
Think of the exercise you'll get.
Drink lots of water, though. It's too hot. All right, thanks for calling in, Lynn. 314-436-7900 is the number to ask your question of Glenn and Jeff. Weeds, you were saying off the air, they're really bad right now, Jeff?
They sure are, you know, and all over lawns and beds alike, you know. I mean, it's just been a great year to grow weeds. You know, we had ample moisture early in the season. They got started, and then, you know, specific summer weeds are getting what they want. They like the heat, and they're getting the heat, you know. So, yeah, there's plenty of weed issues. A lot of the typical summertime weeds we're seeing, you know, a lot of spurge is bad now, both in beds and lawns. And nutsedge is getting going wherever people are keeping that beds and lawn hydrated. You know, the nutsedge is getting to be an issue, and that requires that requires a lot of attention. It's not a one and done situation, you know.
So, is that when you bring out the sedge hammer?
Yes, sir.
That's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the products. But why do weeds like heat so much?
Boy, you know, you just look in every parking lot. You know, they're opportunistic. You know, they love the heat. They it's just the genetics of how they live. And you know, it's one of the ways to dispel the myth that lawnmowers move weed seeds. You know, you don't see too many lawnmowers out in the middle of gravel parking lots, but you see plenty of weeds. And so when folks think that the lawnmower guys are moving fungal spores or weed seeds, remember that all those were spread way before a lawnmower was ever invented.
So. Okay. Yeah. Good point. All right. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Up next, we have Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing today?
Morning,
I just have a question. I have two Japanese maple trees, one on each side of my sidewalk, and they're probably 20 years old. And what I'm discovering is the one is seems like it's shedding its leaves already and not looking too healthy. Do you have any ideas like what it could be? Or I know it's hard to not by not looking at it, but any suggestions, ideas, or you think they just live their life?
Mike, it's probably not that they've just lived their life. You know, there are some specific issues with Japanese maples. Actually, you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of issues with them. I mean, you could be even looking at some residual damage from past winters. You know, they're very vulnerable to vascular damage, you know, if the sap is coming up early in the spring and we have a real deep cold snap, you know, that can do some really like long-term damage. Actually, there are a couple. There's one concern I would have, and I've seen this year. There's some really sudden death especially I've seen it on some lace leaf type Japanese maples. And there's a couple wilt diseases, you know, that are vascular fungus situations. And those can be a real problem. I mean, there's not much we can do to treat you know, for that. I would tell you now, like we were talking earlier, the main thing would be right now is good, consistent hydration. You know, don't let the tree get too dried out, and don't flood it either. You know, that's you know, okay. Either way, you know, just being established like 20 years, I'd just say once a week, deep water it, you know, would be the way to go.
Okay. And, yeah, because the other one is like healthy as could be. And this one, like I said, the leaves were looking a little different, like you said, a little wilty. So, but I'll give it a shot. Hey, I appreciate your time and thanks for the show.
I would also visually, you know, check the base of the tree, look and see if maybe it's getting some girdling roots. You know, all maples can have that issue, you know, and that's again, if you catch it early, you can actually intervene there and take care of that problem. Also check the trunk, you know, if you see sap oozing out of the trunk or, you know, something like that, that can be a sign of a lot of problems as well. So anyway.
All right, cool. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in at 314-436-7900. Up next, let's say hello to Jan. Good morning, Jan.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Jan.
How do I know when to put down a pre-emergent for my cool weather weeds? So specifically, I have hairy bittercress, henbit, and poa anu in the spring. I just don't know how to tell really when to put down that pre-emergent. I think it is around this time of the year.
Yeah, Jan, there's no one guaranteed date. So it's all soil temperature related, and some of those weeds will respond to pre-emergent better activity in the spring or in the fall. And so generally in the spring, the first application is after the second or first mowing. Make sure all the leaves are cleaned up so that you get good contact with the pre-emergent in the soil and not just resting on top of leaves. And the second application done somewhere between Halloween and the first of November will stop your winter annuals. You talked about that henbit. You know, if you apply a pre-emergent in the fall, you won't see any winter annuals. That poania is going to be a lot tougher, depending on I'm assuming you have a cool season lawn, but sometimes your only application for that is to spray it as a post-emergent. But all lawns are different. And what I would suggest to you is you just get a competent consulting with a lawn care contractor, and they could come out and do an evaluation, because if you have that many weeds, usually the best defense against weeds isn't a bunch of chemicals, but a good thick lawn. So maybe you're mowing too short, maybe you haven't fertilized properly, maybe there's a pH problem, you need a soil test. So it's never any one answer to controlling weeds, but it's how we can do our cultural practices that really determine the best weed control.
Okay, thank you.
That makes
sense. Sounds like if I do a cool season, a pre-emergent, we're talking Halloween to the 1st of November would be your best guess.
That would be the fall to control your winter annuals, but you still would have to do a spring requirement, you know, sometime in mid-March to early April. And there's all kinds of different pre-emergents. Some of them work as both a pre- and a post-emergent, so read your labels carefully. The most important part of any chemical is the label.
Yes.
Devil are in the details.
Yeah. No, that's really helpful. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck, Jan.
Thanks for calling in, Jan. 314-436-7900 is the garden hotline to ask your question of Glenn or Jeff today. We're talking about the summer heat and weeds and other issues, but whatever your issue is you're most concerned about, let us know. Off the air, we were talking about the kind of calls you guys are getting right now. What are you getting?
Yeah, so we're, you know, actually, as far as like incoming calls, it's kind of steady. It's not like it is in the spring, but we are getting a lot of inquiries with some specific issues, like we were saying. I mean, just kind of maintenance type work with weeds in the beds and weeds in lawns and, you know, fungus in the grass and just a lot of that kind of stuff, but actually, we are starting to get a lot of interest in, you know, lawn renovation coming up here. Maybe even as soon as the end of August is a good time to get started on that. So, actually, we've even had I've had an inquiry about, you know, doing a kill off of a lawn and you know, redoing it in early September. And, you know, that, so the time to start doing prep work for that is coming, you know, it's upon us really. So, anyway,
To do lawn renovation, that this is the time of year coming up to do it. If you're going to.
Yeah. So the key for, you know, establishing cool season grass seeds in St. Louis, the best window is usually late August through second week of October. Actually, it'd be a good cutoff point. Maybe lately, even later in October is all right. You know, as long as the soil temperature's hanging in there, you know.
So. Yeah, we get a lot of calls and people ask for planning, and we encourage people to call people like Jeff or people that actually do the work. Don't wait till September 1st to find a good guy that can aerate and seed. It's like waiting till April 14th and asking an accountant what they're doing. So if you want the best, you need to get on their schedule and get on their list and know the details. So when they show up, they're not guessing about the square footage or how much they need or whether it's irrigated or whether you have kids or dogs in the yard. All that stuff needs to be put into the matrix for so that the customer gets the best results and there's no surprises, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of phobias sometimes associated with lawn care applications. And, you know, the best prevention is prevention, you know, just make sure that the dog bowls are turned upside down, the kids' toys are out of the yard, and you stay off the yard for that day. You know, it's just kind of common sense, but sometimes, you know, we get busy and all of a sudden there's a fall party scheduled for the same day you have core aeration and you got a bunch of wet mud on top of the yard. And
yeah,
that doesn't make anybody happy. So it's all about the planning.
That's a good point. That is Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers also here taking your questions for this At Your Service program. The garden hotline is 314-436-7900. Let us know what you're concerned about. 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. We'll be back in just a moment. It is the long-running garden hotline on KMOX. Glenn Kramer here from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers. They are answering your questions at 314-436-7900. Let's go to the phones. Chris, you're up next.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Chris.
I've been looking for a solution here. I have some really large areas that need aeration, and you guys have been talking a lot about aeration this morning. And I'm wondering if you know where you can rent or purchase a really large aerator that you'd either pull behind a side-by-side or a tractor or something like that, because I bought a couple of cheapies and they don't they just don't work or hold up. So I'm wondering if there isn't some industrial strength one, and you guys sound like you're in that kind of a business where you might know where I could get one of those or rent one of them.
You know, might be best just to call and have us do it. You know, I mean, that really, I mean, by the time you rent it or buy something, I mean,
move it.
You
gotta have a truck and a trailer to move the big stuff. But
I don't know.
I know the people at K&K Rental out in Fenton are pretty competent. I have some good pieces of equipment, but again, getting it there and operating it properly, that's not for the faint of heart. You have to have a certain amount of acumen that knows what you're doing with that piece of equipment. You just don't run it out there like a push lawnmower or a push spreader. It takes some knowing. If you have hills, you got to be real careful that you don't roll that thing, because they're not made to do hilly properties. They're really made to do flat properties. So you have to be really careful.
So I got check with those guys. These are actually horse pastures. So,
wow.
And I have tractors and I have all kinds of equipment. So that's why I was asking this way, as opposed to, you know, having you guys come out would cost me a lot, whereas I've already paid all that money for my tractors and stuff. So.
So I'd start with a farm implement place, you know, go out in a, you know, sounds like you're out in the country sort of anyway, but I'd go out to the hinterlands and go to a farm implement place, and I'm sure you could get a deal. Nowadays, too, you might be able to find or look on the trading, you know, profiles and see if you can get one online somewhere. You might be able to.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, maybe.
Good
point.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Chris. Maybe find a used one.
Yeah, and if you bought a tractor somewhere, they always have implements, and people just don't sell tractors. They always sell attachments, too. So
right.
Be a good place to start. Yeah.
All right. Good question, Chris. Layla is up next. Good morning.
Good morning. My issue is my zinnias. The leaves have, it looks like a milky white color, and I was wondering what I could do to get the leaves back to green to see if what this problem is.
Yeah, Layla, you've got mildew on the leaves. I'll let Glenn talk about that too, but I think the best thing is to try to prevent that problem, not wait till it's already on there. It's just like with peonies, you know, once they get mildewed, they're done. You know, I mean, not dead or anything, but you're not getting them back to green, like you said. So
yeah, it's mostly caused by improper irrigation. People water the leaves, and sometimes it's just an accident of the byproduct of how the irrigation is set up, but watering directly on zinnias will just cause that powdery mildew. And there are contact fungicides that will prevent the mildew from getting worse, but it doesn't reverse the color of the leaves. Once those leaves are discolored, next year is when you'll have healthier leaves. But try to mitigate the water landing on the leaves, especially during the hot time of the day, and you'll prevent as much powdery mildew as possible. And like Jeff said, it doesn't kill it. It just doesn't make it look good.
Okay, and you said that there was something that I could, a spray or use to prevent it from getting worse?
Yeah, there's a product called Daconil. It's a contact fungicide that will help make any healthy leaf not get the mildew on it or the fungal spores on it.
How do you spell that?
It's a Daconile, Daconil.
Great.
Look for the active ingredient, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Layla. 314-436-7900 is the number. I was wondering if she was going to have you a spelling test for you.
Oh, that good job. You know my history on that. That's rough.
All right. Up next, we have Keisha. Good morning, Keisha.
Good morning. Good morning. I am calling about a climbing yellow rose bush in a flower bed. And it I guess a family of stray cats live next to it. So initially, when the spring came, it bloomed beautiful, gorgeous. Fast forward, there are some factors that I don't know what I did or if it was the cats. Basically, the stray cats used it as their relieving system. Fast forward, I saw something online said roses like coffee, and it would keep away the cats. So I sprinkled a little bit down there. Of course, I think like two or three of the plants died. I don't see the cats in there anymore. However, now my yellow rose bush, it blooms, but no green leaves. Like at some point in time, there were brown spots on the leaves. And it fell off, you know, the leaves fell off. But like I said, the rose is still bloom, but it basically just looks naked. And I want to know, what can I possibly either use naturally or purchase?
Hey, Keisha, I think that probably your best option might even be just to prune it back and, you know, just give it regular water and, you know, hopefully it will re-leaf out. And when it re-leafs out, you still probably this late in the summer, you'll get some new growth, which is where you get the bloom buds, you know? So, anyway, that's about the only thing I could tell you, you know, maybe give it a little food once it starts to leaf back out. Yes. You know, that would be all I can think to do, really.
I think if you try to find some organic fertilizer, like some Allorganite or something that's 100% organic, you'll increase the soil, microbial activity, as well as giving it some phosphorus, which is what roses like, and it certainly wouldn't hurt to do that. You know, one more shot this month.
Yeah. And if you do get it to leaf back out, then remember, we want to stop pruning that. You know, maybe in late September or so. We want to let it slow down before winter comes. You know, we don't want to keep
it. So it is mandatory to prune a rose bush.
Well, you generally wake it up if you take off some of those dead leaves and branches. You know, all the food that was trying to feed the whole shrub all of a sudden only has a third less, and all those nutrients go into new production. So, you'll rejuvenate that when you cut off that dead branches or even some of the live. You know, sometimes you got to take a little sacrifice to have a better result down the road.
And like we were saying earlier, don't let it get dried out either, you know, right now. You know, so.
Okay. Now, what about the stray cats? Is there anything we can put in?
That's a rock band, I think, the Stray Cats. Is that what you're talking about? Oh, wait a minute. I digress.
Yeah,
that's
how. They seem to favor my flower bed, and I don't know why.
That's just bad luck, I think. They got a home, I mean, they got a food source.
You're not asking
protection.
About herding cats,
no,
are you?
No, herding.
I mean, you could try
no,
some of
No, I don't
the...
mean that. I mean herding them, not hurting them.
You could try some of the animal. you could try some of the animal repellents. You know, I don't know that there's specifically designed for cats. You know, but like liquid fence keeps a lot of stuff away. You might try that.
And that type of product doesn't hurt the cats at all. It just makes them smell something that drives them away to go find a different place to hibernate.
You may not like the smell of it either.
Yourself,
you
know,
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thank you all so much. I'm so excited to ask somebody that knows something.
Thanks for calling in, Keisha. Yeah. The number to call to ask your question is 314-436-7900. After the break, we'll get to Teresa and David, so stay on the line if you can. And if you want to join, that's 314-436-7900. Jeff and Glenn taking your questions on 104.1 FM Garden Hotline.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's Jeff and Glenn. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horseman answering your questions today at 314-436-7900. Let's get back to the phones. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good
morning, Teresa.
Good.
Thank
you. I'm calling because I have three big, never trimmed boxwoods, and I wonder if it's too late to trim them this summer.
Hey, you could go ahead and give them a little trim, and actually, you know, when it cools down just a little bit, it would be best, you know, September. Don't do it real late in the fall because they might force out some new growth, and then that's very susceptible to winter injury. If you'd want to prune them heavy, the best time to do it would actually be early next spring, even like late March, and then they should force back out a lot of growth.
Yeah. And Teresa, hey, there's a class offered at the Missouri Botanical Garden on October 9th, and it's titled Better Care for Your Boxwoods. It's a new course offered by Greg Ward over there, and it's on October 9th from 5 to 6:30. But just check with the Missouri Botanical Garden, and I'm sure you can get the details, but you'll probably learn more for an hour and a half about boxwoods than you'd ever want to learn.
Well, thank you very much, and it sounds like very good advice. The other thing is that I'm trying to plant new trees in my backyard. We had a 92-foot pin oak that developed a hole in the middle and had to be taken down. Mm. And, boy, did we miss that tree. And now we're stuck with nothing in the backyard. And I'm having a hard time getting a decision made about how to even get started. We'd like a variety of deciduous and evergreen, but at this time of year, what is best to plant? What can you plant safely in the fall?
Well, you said it. Fall would be what I would recommend. You kind of, especially if you want to buy a bigger type tree, you know, or a larger caliper or something. I would probably, if you can, just wait till October, November, you know, even early December. Great times to plant, you know, deciduous trees.
Get a good landscape designer.
Yeah,
and the only thing I would know for sure is
what
not to plant. Don't plant a sweet gum.
Thank you.
Please
do not.
I'm not interested in sweet gums.
Yeah, don't believe the ones that say they're, you know, fruitless either. I mean, it may be 10 years later, but sooner or later, it seems like they always end up getting some balls.
Yeah.
No, I'm want to avoid that. Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate the program.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you, Teresa, for calling in at 314-436-7900. David, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering, and I think you had mentioned this a few shows back, but what's the best herbicide to knock out nut's edge in a fescue lawn?
Yeah, because you got a couple of options there. There's contact leaf-absorbed herbicides like Sedgehammer and Sulfentrazone. It's called the Smiths in some circles. And there's a granular product that you can actually sprinkle on the nut sedge areas called Vexis. And I can spell that. That's easy. That's V-E-X-I-S. But Vexis allows you to apply that on the hottest day of the year, and it doesn't make any difference because it gets watered in and gets absorbed by the roots. Now, know that all that information you just heard, there's no such thing as one and done, and sometimes it takes multiple years to get rid of nut sedge.
Well, that's what I'm into, really. Yeah. And I've been using Sedgehammer, but for some reason, I think it's lost its effectiveness. And so what was the second choice that you had, and how do you spell it? Because I didn't quite...
Sulfentrazone or Dismiss. Just look for the active ingredient of sulfentrazone. And it's like,
spell it, Glenn.
S-U-L-F-E-N. Sulfentrazone. Just sound it out.
Okay, T-R-A zone. I got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And so, I think I'll try that because I might run out of the Sedgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, and then a second question. I've got a multi-zone rainbird lawn irrigation system, and understanding that, you know, deep watering relatively infrequently is preferred. And what my scheduling on it is to run the entire loop of the 9 zones for 20 minutes, basically, and then it cycles back. It takes about 4 or 5 hours to do all that. And do that twice, and then repeat that the next day or next very early morning, and then leave it alone for 3-4 days or whatever. And does that sound like, you know, without going out with the cups and, because I've tried all that to try to measure the output of my heads, and it's just, I don't know, it never seems to work. I mean, it seems like it doesn't put out enough, but so I just went with that schedule, and it seems to be pretty good. Would that make sense for you, you think?
Hey, David, I think that's a good plan, what you got to do, though, is just look at it and observe it and check it, a week like we got coming up, if we don't luck out and get some of that rain tomorrow, you may need to add an extra day, it just, you got to use common sense, and if the grass, most of your cool season type grasses is when they start to become stressed, they'll give you a little warning. They'll start to look almost a little gray, and off color before they get brown, if you start to see that, you better step in and give them a little extra love.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Okay. But the 2 20-minute cycles on one day and then just do the same thing on day number two. That seems reasonable to you, or is that overkill, or I don't know. And you're right. It's just everything's different, I guess, in every situation.
I think that's a good plan. For sure, work in the early season, in May and June, and, even like we were talking earlier, July, we had some rain, but just got to use common sense right now. But in general, what you're describing is good. We do like deep watering if possible to create a sturdy root system, but we just got to use common sense. So anyway, thanks.
Thanks for the call, David, at 314-436-7900. We have waiting to ask their questions, Tim and Robin. We'll get to those after the top of the hour. And if you want to get in, 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn on KMOX. Answering your questions today, we have Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson Seed Company and Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers. They have been answering questions for an hour. We had a lot of good questions in the first hour. We have one more hour to go, and the number to call is 314-436-7900. Let's go to Robin. She's been patient. Good morning, Robin.
Yes. My question is, I've got lilac trees, bushes, whatever you want to call them, and they are getting brown, curled up leaves and dropping off. Now, two of them are, I don't know, 70, 80 years old, and one of them is probably 10 or 12 years old, but they're all doing the same thing.
Yeah, Rob, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I bet if you look at them, they got plenty of buds for next season, and they sounds like they've probably caught a little bit of a fungus or a lot of fungus, maybe. Let's not let them get dried out though. Even if they shed most of their leaves, let's continue to, especially they sound well established. Just a deep watering, probably once a week, would be the best solution right now. And I'm pretty sure they'll be all right next spring. They're pretty tough, actually.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Robin, at 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have two questions, and they both involve weeds. I have an annual bed, and every spring I put mulch down around a row, and then I put my sunflowers or zinnias in these rows. But then I have such an issue with that milk vine weed. Do you have any suggestions?
There's real no pre-emergent for that. You almost just have to hand pull those, and they're pretty easy to identify, obviously, but I get the same weeds in my beds, even though I put out a pre-emergent. I just pull them all, and they don't ever seem to take off after that.
Okay. It seems like there's other ones there waiting to come up after I pull them, but okay. Yeah. The other thing is I have a lot of creeping Charlie in my grass, and I don't really have grass. I have weeds for my lawn, and I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on how I should handle that or can handle that.
Well, if you kill all the creeping Charlie but don't plant grass seed, guess what you're going to get back next year? More creeping Charlie. So again, the best defense against weeds isn't a bunch of chemicals. It's a good thick lawn. And if you're not willing to mow properly, water properly, and replant seed, unfortunately, that creeping Charlie problem won't ever go away. That will be the grass of choice. But if you wanted to kill creeping Charlie, there's an active ingredient called triclopyr that's very effective against creeping Charlie. And know that it has a very aggressive rhizome underground root system, and so you'd want to spray it and respray it again a couple weeks later. Creeping Charlie and violets kind of go down the same tracks. If people have creeping Charlie, they usually have violets, and people with violets usually have creeping Charlie. They run in the same circles, per se, but it's a difficult weed to control. But again, we'll suggest a good thick lawn is your best defense, not a bunch of chemicals.
So when you talk about mowing correctly, watering correctly, and seeding correctly, what does that mean? What is the correct mowing process?
Well, for a cool season lawn, it's mowing at 4 inches, 3.5 to 4 inches, and only removing 1/3 of the leaf blade at a time. I know at my home personally, I don't have irrigation. I'm mowing like every 18 to 21 days. It's just not growing. And it's unrealistic to think that a cool season lawn will look good during these hot weather spells that we're going through. So it'll look great in the spring. It'll look great in the fall. But you just need to mow it at 3 to 3.5 inches and infrequent, especially if you don't have irrigation. And fertilizing with organic fertilizers and building the microbial activity in the soil is your friend, not your enemy. And if you, it's never any one thing. There's never one answer to that. It's multiple steps that the cultural practices that help your lawn stay healthy and choke out weeds. Hopefully that gave you some information.
And just throwing out grass seed doesn't necessarily take care of all that. I have to do other things with it.
Yeah, it sounds like you have lots of options, actually. I mean, you know, if it's that thick, you may want to consider just actually killing that off. And it may take a couple applications, like Glenn was saying, let it kill it and, you know, spray it again, make sure you got as much of it as possible dead, and then, you know, reseed from scratch might be a good solution for you.
But you definitely don't want to just throw seed on top of the ground and hope for the best results.
Yeah, it's just wasting.
And should I do sections of my yard at a time, or can I just attack it all at one time?
Well, I don't, how big is it? What's your capacity why? You know, your limiting factor, it sounds like, would be your capacity to water. You know,
okay.
If you kill the whole yard, you know, then you got to be able to water the whole yard.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa, for calling in at 314-436-7900. DD, you're on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn.
Okay. Hi. What can I do to get rid of wild violets that have absolutely taken over my landscape without killing my perennials and bushes and small trees?
Yeah. Selective herbicides, like I said, called triclopyr, is a very good antidote or killer of selectively killing violets without killing your good stuff. But you have to read the label. You don't want to apply in temperatures like now. Your window of applying selective herbicides probably shut by 8 o'clock this morning. You could always use non-selective herbicides like Roundup, but again, you don't spray on windy days. You don't spray near the plants you desire. But violets are, you know, we just talked about it with creeping Charlie. They have an aggressive root system, and they're not easy to control.
And I'm sure Glenn would agree with this, but if you can spray or treat those violets in the mid-late fall, you know, before they get a hard freeze and go dormant, that's really the time of year that they're very vulnerable. You know, you need violets, you got to get on them early in the spring before the cuticle, the waxy coating on the leaf hardens off, or again, like late October, November, you know, is perfect for treating those violets, actually.
Okay. And the triclopyr?
Mm-hmm. Terflon ester or triclopyr. Yeah.
Okay. Is it TRICLOPYRE?
I think it's PYR.
Triclopyr. PYR? Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dee Dee. Boy, Glenn, you're getting the spelling questions today.
Not my strong suit either.
All right, the number is 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline. That's how you get to ask your question of Jeff and Glenn. 104.1 FM KMOX will continue in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, along with Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers. They're answering your gardening questions this morning at 314-436-7900. And next we have Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. I have a lawn problem. I have a nice thick lawn, but this year something has invaded it. It's kind of a very shallow rooted, bladed grass of sorts that pulls up very, very easily, but spreads very quickly. I'm not sure how to get rid of it. It almost feels like soft hair is what it feels like, and I just don't know what to do with it.
From that description, Jim, it sounds like you might have gotten some Bermuda grass in there. Has anybody else told you that, or have you shown that a picture to, a local nursery or anybody like that?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, that's what I would tell you to do, and I'll give you my. You can email me a picture or call me and send me a picture, but Bermuda grass grows very quickly, and it dances on top of a good, thick lawn, very common, and kill that non-selectively or selectively, but it's not easy and it's not quick and it's not inexpensive. So that's probably maybe you ought to consider giving me a call afterwards. But killing Bermuda selectively, there's a product out there that's pretty effective, but non-selectively is Roundup, and you unfortunately kill everything in the grass. So
right.
Yeah, that's very common, particularly if people brought in some topsoil. Topsoil moves a lot of Bermuda grass.
So it's very, very soft feel. Is that correct?
Well, Bermuda usually is pretty coarse, but again, from that description, on top and spread quickly. That's
unless he's got bent grass going, or I mean, is it real thick and soft and like on a?
It's real. Real soft. As a matter of fact, when you mow it, the air from the mower pushes it down, and you really don't mow it.
Yeah.
If you come back and you can pull it up by hand very, very easily.
Yeah,
it's very shallow rooted.
Yeah, the other thing I'm thinking too, and is it going dormant in the heat right now, or is it
not the month?
No, it's okay, but sometimes if you've ever had shade grass, you know, like a creeping. Fescue, red fescue, you know, that can spread pretty quick through a lawn. And actually, I'm seeing a lot of that stuff go dormant right now. I mean, it's like dying out, you know, but it'll come back.
Grows in a circle.
Yeah, bring a sample of that to somebody you trust and I think get that evaluated, because bent grass is a whole lot easier to control than Bermuda grass, that's for sure.
I understand.
Okay.
Well, I'll bring it to an expert and see what he says.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
You bet. Good luck, Jim.
Thanks for calling in to the Garden Hotline, Jim, at 314-436-7900. Next, we have Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, fellas. Enjoy the show. Good
morning, Tim.
I've got a 20-foot or better tall tin oak tree in my front yard. It's a beautiful tree, big old canopy on it. And, of course, I'm having issues growing grass underneath it. I see my tree ring underneath it with mulch is getting bigger and bigger every year because I can't grow grass. If I do a soil test and put down the right, nutrients, compost, pH level, blah, 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 I was wondering if I could throw some zoysia sod in there this fall and if that would take. What's your opinion on that?
No, that's probably the opposite of what I would do. Zoysia is a sun-loving, warm-season grass.
Okay.
Having a bigger ring around a pin oak circle, a pin oak tree is actually the smartest thing you can do, and you can actually grow some perennials in between those roots. But growing grass in the shade under a pin oak is tough to begin with because of the surface roots. But if you did try to grow grass, you should grow a cool season grass and mow it as tall as you can stand it. And at some point during the summer, like now, I'm not too sure I would even mow grass underneath the shade of maples or pin oaks.
because it's not cool season grasses aren't growing aggressively, and you'll never have enough sunlight to grow a warm season grass, in my opinion. And so I would encourage you to make the mulch ring bigger and bigger and plant some hostas or some other shade-loving perennials and enjoy what Mother Nature's given you, because growing grass right up against the root or the trunk of a pin oak tree is kind of counterproductive, in my opinion. So.
Right. I mean, I was afraid you were going to say that, but we'll just keep making the ring bigger.
Sorry to deliver the truth to you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Tim. Up next, we have Richard. Good morning, Richard.
Morning.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, I got some nut grass in the yard. I sprayed it, and it came back again.
And it will.
Yeah.
It will. For every little plant you have now, there's more waiting to pop up. Yeah. You know, so you gotta be diligent with it. And Nutsedge in general is very. This is a rough year for it. It's had what it likes. We had a lot of rain earlier, and then lots of heat. You know, so this
so
is.
When I kill, does that kill it or did?
May or may not. Yeah.
Yeah. It should actually like a sledgehammer should kill the, you know, translocate down to the little bulb and kill that particular plant. But there's more. You know, there's more of it. In the ground, you know, it's like, and it's like germinating, not all at once. I mean, it just kind of keeps coming. And like Glenn was saying earlier, you know, you have to view that as a real process. I mean, you know, it may take several years to really kind of.
Sledgehammer is the thing to use, huh?
I think it's great. You know, there are, like Glenn was saying, there's a couple other products that work, and there actually is a granular now that's kind of exciting, and you can spot treat with that pretty easily. It's user friendly, I think, you know, would be.
Oh, that's what I've been doing with the sledgehammer. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks, Richard. Up next, we have Bill. Good morning, Bill. You're on with Jeff and Glenn.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Bill.
I have a catalpa tree that somebody gave me in about a 2 gallon pot. And I was wondering when is the best time and best location to plant that catalpa tree.
Yeah, so catalpa, you know, I like them. I think they're pretty when they, you know, when they bloom and they got an interesting winter habit, you know, and of course they bloom a little later in the spring. You know, I don't mind them. They're you know, they've got issues with some mess, but anyway, I'd keep that thing in the pot right now and then wait till we get into more of a true fall kind of weather, and then go ahead and plant it. I will tell you, plant it where it's got plenty of room. You know, they are a big tree, you know, so give it lots of room and lots of sun.
Yep. Lots of sun then, okay.
Yep.
I got an impartial sun and shade now, because it seemed like the sun where I had it, where there's no shade till later on at night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, while it's in the little pot, you know, that might be all right. But I'm just saying in general, they do like open sun. You know, it's like a true lawn tree. Like it needs lots of room.
Canopy.
You know, yep. It's got a big, big canopy.
I also have a buckeye tree that's in partial shade and sun both. Is there anything I should do? Should I fertilize it later on? I mean, I know to fertilize, but I didn't know when or
what
would help the most.
So safe advice on feeding trees, you know, it really more in a dormant state would be the better solution.
Okay.
You know? So I'd wait till November and feed it at that time, you know, would be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Early next spring can be okay as well. So.
It's a slow grower, I know that.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck. Thanks for calling in, Bill. The number to call if you have a question for Jeff and Glenn is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. You're listening to 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
This is the Garden. Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hotline on KMOX with Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed Company and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers answering your questions on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. Let's say hello to Doug. Good morning, Doug. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a silver maple that's growing up through a rose bush, and I've tried spraying spectracide, weed killer, and nothing seems to be killing that silver maple.
Yeah, I would probably just pull it or dig it up if you can. Selectively trying to kill that would, with like spectracide, I don't think it's going to be effective at all. It doesn't sound like it is, but mechanical removal of that's going to solve your problem, Doug.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
All right. Because it just keeps on spreading right up through the middle of the rose bush. I had trimmed the rose bush a few years ago to get rid of some of the bigger dead branches out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed to take off right up through the center of it.
Once that rose bush goes dormant this fall and you can see where that silver maple is, get in there with a hand trowel and just dig as carefully as you can to not hurt the rose bush, but get as much of the root system and pull that silver maple up, you know, after Halloween or so. And I don't think it'll return next year.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. Let's see who we have next. Lee. Good morning, Lee. You're on the air.
Yes, I have one problem. Tomato plant and squirrels. And I have the tomato plant problems. In a pot, and it's on my front porch. And the squirrels are already getting the tomatoes, and they're green. How do I, you know, is there something I can do for it or something that I can put in there?
You know, Lee, you could try the... you know, some of the animal repellent things, and they're not really like toxic and stuff, so you can do that. The squirrels are right now, they're probably just going for water, you know. I guess you could put a pan of water out somewhere and just let the squirrel have a drink, you know. I mean, it might be the best thing for your.
Well,
tomato,
I even have like a fake owl that I put out there. That doesn't even seem to faze them.
No, they're probably friends, Lee. I would just put a cage. I'd put a cage around those tomato plants. That's a physical deterrent is the best thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Much more effective than owls or sprays, in my opinion.
Well, someone told me that there was some kind of spice or herb or something that you can put in there. Is that true?
I've had clients tell me they like cayenne pepper, you know. I mean, I guess you have nothing to lose, you know. You could try sprinkling that on the soil on the pot, you know, see if that helps.
Well, and I thought that the squirrels only went after the ripe tomatoes, but these are green, and they've gotten four of them already.
They don't even eat much of it. They just ruin
one
them.
Good bite. They're equally destructive, red or green, in my opinion. They take one good bite and ruin it and leave it on the sidewalk.
They leave the top of it off and leave it in there. So, okay, well, wish me luck.
Good luck.
Good luck, Lee.
Good luck. Thanks for calling in at 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. So you were saying, Glenn, to bribe the squirrels with water, is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
I don't know. I think that might a pan of water might bring in more squirrels, and that's probably the last thing you want.
All right, let's go to Lynn next. Good morning, Lynn. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for your service. I have a beautiful crepe myrtle that will have to be transplanted at some point due to construction. What time of the year is best to do that to have the best luck with it?
Lynn, with that plant, spring would be the better time to move it. You know, they're not that. I know they're getting big in St. Louis, but they're, you know, we've had some milder winters. I know we've had a few cold snaps at key times, but, you know, driving around, there's some big ones out there now. And they do, when you transplant or even plant new ones in the fall, you just run the risk if the winter is on the colder side that you'll have dead crepe myrtle.
Okay. Unfortunately, I think this is going to have to be transplanted before then, but I'll just take a chance with it. But I thought you would say spring. So thank you very much for your service.
And you might be okay to move it now, you know, or soon, you know, and not when it's 95 maybe, but go ahead and do it and get it done and keep it well watered, and maybe it'll be better and it might root in a little bit before winter.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your service.
You bet, Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn, for calling in. Let's go to Gus. Good morning, Gus. Hello?
Hello, yeah. Sorry. I planted two crepe myrtles a couple years ago, and this year they bloomed and are beautiful. Yeah, my question is, they're getting kind of big. I bought small ones, I thought, but they're not a tree like they're a bush. But right now, they're about 4 feet high. And I was wondering, can I trim those back in the fall or in the spring, or what would you recommend?
Yeah, you can trim them in the fall is okay. I will say if you wait till spring, you'll nip it or see where they die back to, because some years they're going to die back partway back anyway, and you know you'll have a real clear understanding of where it's dead and just cut the dead off. It might be all you need to do.
So would you recommend the spring then, or does it matter?
If you can live with it, I think I'd wait till it starts to leaf out in the spring. Of course, they don't leaf out real early in the spring. You know, you have to be a little bit patient. But the other thing, you can, in the spring, you can scrape the bark with your thumbnail and see where it's green. You know, a lot of times they'll have winter death at the very top.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Yeah, we had a really severe winter a couple of years ago, and I thought they died, and I started cutting back everything, and then I saw a little bit of green coming up, so I just let it go, and it turned out to be beautiful.
And once they really get established, that's a key thing to those, it seems like, then they're more cold tolerant if they really get established.
Yep.
Okay, good deal. Okay, well, thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for calling in, Gus. Wally, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, thank you. I have a question about fall reseeding. If I'm doing a heavy reseeding and aeration, I do not have a in-ground watering system. So what do you recommend on watering? How often, how long on a standard sprinkler kind of thing?
Yeah, so it's the one exception to the rule. We've talked almost all morning about deep waterings and 2 days in a row. When we seed or lay sod, it's the one time where the rules change, and we'll suggest keeping just the top quarter inch moist. And so that would be everyday watering for at least the first 2, maybe 3 weeks of the seed's life. And sometimes you might have to water twice in one day. You might have to water, 6 or 7 a.m., you know, for 15 minutes, and then again at 6 or 7 p.m. just to keep that top quarter inch moist. So it goes against the establishment rules are totally different than once they're established rules when it comes to watering. So it's just the one time until you mow that grass seed after about 3 weeks, then you'll go back to watering 2 days in a row and maybe taking a day off. But to get it established, you know, grass seed needs two things to germinate. It's soil temperature and moisture. It's not sunlight. So you got to keep that top quarter inch moist. And if you have a slope or a heavy clay soil or a lot of wind, you might have to water twice in one day for the first 2 weeks.
Or even three times. Just got to keep it. Got to keep that seed moist to get it to germinate. You know. So, Dr. Pepper, I was taught years ago, 10-2-4. Yep.
I think I can remember that. Yeah. I've got I'll be using like either a wand sprinkler or, you know, the kind you plug into your hose and it kind of shoots it like the, you know, like the dance, you know, the sprinkler. Yeah. So you're saying 15 minutes or so at a whack
That sounds kind of high. I'd probably cut it back to 10 minutes. It's frequent light waterings only during this trying to establish seed or sod, right? You're just keeping that top quarter inch moist. So whatever it takes to keep that top quarter inch moist, that's your goal.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good.
Thanks, Wally, for the call. Thanks, Wally. 314-436-7900. Glenn, you were saying earlier, so is that the only time to do the light frequent watering? Because you were saying earlier that that's bad usually.
100%. It's when you're establishing versus established are two different waterings. And, you know, when you buy sod, all the roots are left back in the sod farm. And the only way to recreate those roots is with watering. So sod and seed need to be watered every day and sometimes twice or even three times a day. Like I said, it's all survival mode. Until those roots are established, the plants won't thrive. And so, but once you've mowed them, you know, then you know that they're on their way to surviving with less daily watering.
Jeff, what is the Dr. Pepper thing?
10-2-4, you know? Yeah.
Now, what is that from?
It used to be on a can, or I think it still
was.
Is
it?
Yeah. It's trying to pick me up, yeah.
Oh, that you're supposed to have one at 10.
Yeah, 10-2-4. And then also, you know, you're spreading it out, and I guess what that also points out, like Glenn, it's frequent watering, and especially in, let's say it's you're seeding in August or September. What do we hopefully get in September? We get like nice low humidity, high blue sky, that kind of thing, and things just dry out really quick. Yeah. So. Especially if you got a sprinkler system, it's just so easy to set it to go for 5 minutes, three times a day. And usually it's germinating in 7 days, you know, it's the way it goes.
We can only hope for that kind of weather.
That's right.
In September.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't that sound good? That does.
We have one more segment to go on the Garden Hotline. If you want to get in on it, 314-436-7900. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers answering your questions on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Segment with Jeff and Glenn answering your questions. Martha's up next. Good morning, Martha. You're on the Garden Hotline.
I have a question about trees. My neighbor has a large sweet gum tree, and several times during the past month, very large branches have broken from this tree, and this was not during storms. It's just randomly breaking off. Can you give me any insight on that?
Yeah, I've seen sweet gums, like you're saying, a lot of sweet gum branches down this year, and I think it's a combination. I mean, it could be that there is some kind of decay or issue, you know, but I've seen some that are just not decay at all. I think it's from the storms earlier, you know, the trees got cracked, weak, whatever, and it just takes something to, you know, make the final straw to make it drop off.
That and the sweet gum ball production so heavy this year. That April rain caused the balls to be really heavy, and the end of the branches are just loaded with heavy amount of sweet gum balls this year. I've seen that in the park behind my house. So, yeah, it's just bad luck with the production of the fruit this year, I think.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in, Martha. I hate those things. Those
they're weeds.
Well, right. A couple months, though, they'll be looking good. Yeah. They are colorful in the fall. Pretty.
All right, Mary, you're up next. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Mary. When's the best time of year to cut back oak leaf hydrangea?
You know, that one, if you read about it, they don't like a lot of pruning, and I would think, you know, it's blooms on new wood, right? You know, so you know you can probably kind of do it any time, really. Shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, I have to do it because I have to make room for a tree to come down.
Yeah. No. You know, I would use a hand pruner, obviously, and cut it back to a lateral bud, and but it may take some time to recover and bloom as prolifically as you're used to. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank Bye.
You. Okay. Thank you for calling in to the Garden Hotline. Let's say hello to Tina next. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning.
Hi, Tina.
Hi. How are you? Good. I have a question about the pin oak droppings, or, you know, these little trees that are growing up in your yard from, you know, pin oaks. I got all these little trees growing up in my yard.
Okay.
So are those going to keep, I just keep cutting them back. I mean, are they going to come back next
They'll finally give up if you keep mowing them. Sounds like, you know, you may not mow as much, you know, and that's okay too, but they will go away after mowing.
Yeah, maples are doing the same thing this time of year.
Yep.
Yeah. And then another question, when is the best time to trim my burning bush?
Dormant pruning is really the best for those. If you know, especially if you're going to do more than just shear off a little bit, you know. So February, perfect.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck, Tina.
Thanks, Tina. Glenn Kramer here with Robinson Seed Company and Jeff Kendall with the Horseman Brothers. Glenn, you said you have a seminar coming up.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. There's a seminar at the Missouri Botanical Garden on Thursday, September 4th, from 5 to 7 p.m., and it's all about cool season lawns. It's a two-hour course, and you will learn more about cool season lawns than you ever wanted to learn. But it's a great course. I've taught that course now for over 30 years, and I get a lot of good response from it, and it really eliminates a lot of the doubt and maybe some of the wives' tales in growing grass here in St. Louis. And this summer is a perfect example of how lawns can look great in April when we get 10 inches of rain,
right?
And all of a sudden we get no rain and exhausting temperatures in August. And you know, it's all about making a plan, because, you know, I tell people all the time, there's never any one thing. There's no lawn care pixie dust. You have to have a plan, and you have to stick to the plan, and then you get good results.
Yeah. Can you give us a couple of hints as to what the topics might be?
Well, we talk a lot about what, for me, the main topics that I think are problems here is mowing and fertilization, and they go together. And if we mow too short or we mow too frequently, we're just working against ourselves in cool season lawns. A lot of people will want to mow their grass short because their neighbors do, or they're used to that because their dad mowed their zoysia short. And it's a cool season lawn, and it's the worst expectation to think that will look good if you mow it short, particularly if you don't have irrigation. So we cover all aspects. We'll cover insecticides, fungicides, fertilization, aerating, and seeding. It really gives you a complete picture. And the best thing about the class is, you know, you get my contact information, and you can send me pictures all summer long.
That's nice.
Yeah.
When you say cool season lawn, can you give us a little definition of that?
Yeah, so those are like your tall fescues, bluegrasses, and ryegrasses. It's like the opposite of what's at Busch Stadium right now, which is Bermuda grass, which is a warm season grass. And most golf courses have warm season grasses, and cool season grasses are restricted to the greens and tees usually. But it's mainly tall fescue here in St. Louis.
And give us the details again on when that is and where it is.
Yeah, that's at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and it's on Thursday, September 4th from 5 to 7. And it's actually being taught at the Far Auditorium North. It's a building that's just north of the main building there. So you get a 5-minute walk back to the building too. So it's a great venue, and it's a great facility. I enjoy teaching there almost better than I do at the new building.
Jeff, any final thoughts from you?
Think positive. We're almost to September, you know. It'll be different, I hope. Thanks.
Fall planting.
Yep. Fall's the best, you know, and truly in horticulture in general. I think it's one of the key. It is, to me, it's the key time of the year, you know. I mean, for grass and most shrubs and trees, and, you know, it's a great time to get out there and plant, and then also be thinking about what do I got to do to prepare for winter. You know, it's just a cycle, you know.
Yeah.
Keeps coming. Keeps coming.
Yeah. Jeff Kendall is with Horstman Brothers. Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson Seed Company. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Yeah, great show. It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. We'll talk to you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.